Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome to As It Is Sunday. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington. On today's show, we will learn a little about the history of Chinese dance places in the United States. During the 1950s and 60s, Chinese American nightclubs on the U.S. West Coast were as important as they were popular. These nightclubs broke down racial barriers. They also led the way for Asian actors to enter the U.S. entertainment industry. Anna Mateo brings you this story today. But first, here are some words that may help you understand the story more fully. A marquee is a sign over the entrance to a theater that shows the name of the show and the names of the performers. Subjects that are taboo are not acceptable to talk about or do. Lastly, a bigot is a person who hates or refuses to accept the members of a particular group. And now, here's Anna.
In the 1930s, Asian American performers did not have many opportunities in mainstream U.S. entertainment. These performers were limited to roles that simply made fun of their cultural heritage. But in the 1940s and 50s, opportunities for Asian American performers began to change. Chinese American nightclubs in California permitted singers, dancers, and actors to overcome racial and cultural barriers and follow their dreams. In 1989, filmmaker Arthur Dong captured that little-known part of entertainment history in his film, Forbidden City, USA. The film has now been remade in a digital format, and Mr. Dong has turned his research into a new book. A man named Arthur Dong grew up in San Francisco, California. As a young Chinese-American boy in the 1950s and 60s, he walked by a nightclub in Chinatown, a neighborhood where many Chinese people lived. He says he remembers walking past the nightclub's marquees, or displays. They showed pictures of the performers wearing elegant gowns and tuxedos. This made quite an impression on the little boy. Here is Arthur Dong.
And I remember distinctly looking at the marquee and looking at the glass display case, all these wonderful black and white photos of Chinese people, but dressed in zoot suits and 1940s kind of gowns and tuxedos. And I had never seen Chinese dressed like that.
The nightclub was called Forbidden City, the same name as the Imperial Palace in China. It opened in 1938 and became very popular. But in 1989, when Mr. Dong decided to make a documentary film about Forbidden City and other Chinese American nightclubs, few of the people who remembered those nightclubs wanted to talk about them. Mr. Dong says people felt uncomfortable. They were ashamed of the clubs, mainly because the women performers wore very little clothing. In other words, they were scantily dressed. For the conservative Chinese community of that time, he says, the subject of the clubs was taboo, something people did not want to talk about. Conservative Chinese parents also did not want their children to become entertainers. According to Mai Tai Singh, performing was not a high-class job. She says it was considered low-grade. Mai Tai Singh was part of a younger generation that became entertainers anyway. She started out as a chorus girl in the early 1940s.
Well, this young lady knows exactly where she is going. She is one of the dancing stars of Charlie Lowe's fabulous Forbidden City in San Francisco. Her name is Mai Tai Singh, and she's America's most beautiful Chinese entertainer.
Mai Tai Singh is now 91 years old and lives in Hawaii. She recalls the golden age of Forbidden City. She says the nightclub had it all. Dancers, comedians, and singers like Larry Ching, who was called the Chinese Frank Sinatra.
I'll beg to choose. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon.
You are listening to As It Is. After a short break, we will continue with the story of Chinese nightclubs in America. Welcome back. Today on As It Is, we are exploring the history of Chinese-American nightclubs in the U.S. We hear how these places helped Asian performers in their careers in the entertainment industry. Ana Mateo continues with this story.
Forbidden City, the nightclub, not the Imperial Palace, was even featured in major U.S. media outlets, including Life magazine. In its heyday, major U.S. celebrities like Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Duke Ellington came to see shows there. But the club's popularity did not protect the performers from racial comments made by a mostly white audience. This is according to a writer and broadcaster named Ben Fong Torres.
So even though you are the stars of the show, they still feel superior to you and make remarks, racist remarks, to your face or shout it out from the audience. And I think that was pretty difficult for most of these entertainers to take. But as Larry Ching said, I had to, otherwise I wouldn't be in the business.
Mr. Fong Torres says that over time, Asian American nightclubs changed people's minds and attitudes about Asian Americans. He says the clubs also shattered conceptions, a common expression that means to change a person's thoughts about something. Singer Jimmy Borges remembers one evening.
And I was singing, Fever, never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. You give me fever. And this lady, she was looking at me, and there was this look in her eye of complete mystification. And she says to her husband, she nudges him with her elbow. She says, oh, Charlie, he sings just like a white man. And that was so funny, because she didn't mean it in a bad way. She meant it like, she had never seen anybody like me sing a song that was made famous by a white person.
Some Forbidden City performers went on to become famous in American television and movies. Filmmaker Arthur Dong says the early nightclub performers continue to inspire young Asian Americans today.
They knew what they wanted. They had dreams. They had goals. And they weren't going to let larger societal bigotry get in their way. And they had fun doing it.
I'm Ana Mateo.
Listeners, as of June 7th, Learning English programs will no longer be heard on VOA's medium wave radio station in Bangkok. But you will still be able to listen to our programs on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, and on podcasts from iTunes.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
while the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Whoa, whoa, boy, whoa. Today, we tell all about horse expressions. In the past, many people depended on horses for transportation, farming, and other kinds of work. A lot of people still like to ride horses for sport. Horse racing and betting on horse racing are also popular. So it is not surprising that Americans use a lot of expressions about horses. Long ago, people who were rich or important rode horses that were very tall. Today, if someone acts better than everyone else, you might tell him to get off your high horse. And if someone is pushing you to do something, you can say, hold your horses. This is a very informal way to tell someone to calm down and wait. You would not use it with your boss, but you could use it with children. Something else you could say to children if they are playing too rough or hitting each other is to stop horsing around. When kids horse around, they could get hurt. However, kids who live in a one-horse town might have nothing to do but horse around. A one-horse town is a small town with not too much going on. So if you live in a one-horse town, you might like to watch a lot of television. Imagine that you are watching your favorite show when your phone rings. You do not answer it. Wild horses could not drag you away from the television. Nothing could stop you from doing what you want to do. In fact, that's what the Rolling Stones are singing about in their song Wild Horses. If you love someone, even strong, wild horses could not drag you away from that person. When you get news directly from the best source, you get it straight from the horse's mouth. If your teacher, for example, tells you there is going to be a test tomorrow, you got that information straight from the horse's mouth. Don't worry, this is not the same as saying your teacher has a horse face. Sometimes a person keeps arguing a question that has already been settled. They are beating a dead horse. A dead horse is quite different from a dark horse. A dark horse is a person who surprises others by doing better than expected. In politics, a dark horse candidate is someone who is not likely to win, but then does. A horse of a different color is a different matter entirely. For example, you and your friend might be talking about how to make more money. Your friend suggests investing in the stock market. You mention betting at the racetrack. Gambling, your friend says, that's a horse of a different color. In other words, it's a different way of thinking about the same topic. Your friend might use another horse expression to give you some advice. If she tells you, do not put the cart before the horse, she is telling you to do things in the proper order. Here's another piece of advice. Do not change horses in midstream. You would not want to make major changes to something you've already started. In the past, this expression was used as an argument to re-elect a president, especially during a time when the country was at war. And one more piece of advice from the world of horses is if you fall off the horse, get right back on again. When you fail or suffer a setback, it is important to try again. But people often ignore good advice. After all, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. This means you can give someone advice, but you cannot force them to use it. I'm Anna Matei.